a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
I can't read you.
And George.
Go, George.
Blah, blah, blah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios inside the Decoy in Spring Branch. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Speaking of enemies, I think I have a new enemy.
Who's that?
You weren't listening. Brian, we forgot to bring three headphones, so Brian didn't hear it. The audience just heard it. I think Michael Carroll is my new enemy.
Why? What did he say?
Because yesterday I went to go record a spot, and I said my name wrong.
Oh, no.
I said JoJo instead of Joe George, and then I stumbled over my words. He just put it in the intro.
I kind of like that.
I do too, but I think
Michael Carroll,
I think I have a new enemy.
Oh, yeah. Michael Carroll. I like
our production director. I think
I like JoJo. That's a good name.
I used to get George of the Jungle when I was growing up.
Yeah, JoJo works.
Yeah.
Can I call you JoJo? Seriously, I'm asking permission.
I'd rather you not.
Why?
It's not a great name.
Why isn't it a great name?
Because it reminds me of that little twerp.
What little twerp?
JoJo.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
YouTube
star? Oh, Siwa? Yeah, JoJo Siwa. She's really annoying.
Oh, okay. The only JoJo I think about is JoJo the killer dolphin, who is a rapist dolphin that lives in the Caribbean. And humped my uncle once.
What?
This is actually, look up JoJo the dolphin. He's like this crazy deranged dolphin.
I understand
so
that.
So George and JoJo the dolphin.
Okay, no, I understand that part of the context. It's more the part of how your uncle got involved.
Yeah, he was out scuba diving, and this dolphin, which has been ostracized because for dolphins, even he's a little bit too problematic, which is saying something because dolphins are among the worst animals when it comes to doing that. And yeah, my uncle, who has a thick French accent, tells this story all the time about this dolphin just starting humping him while he's in the water.
And it was JoJo?
It was JoJo the dolphin.
Well,
yeah,
that's not good.
JoJo's still alive, I believe.
Yeah?
Uh-oh. Is JoJo dead? BMAC doesn't have a headset, so BMAC is saying that JoJo is described as the most friendly dolphin in the world. He's friendly, that's for sure. And Joe George, JoJo. JoJo the killer dolphin.
Joey Bosa, speaking of Joes.
Nice transition. I love it when you're just like, hey, we're out of this one.
He apparently just restructured his contract with the Chargers, so they're going to be able to keep Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack. Joe George of the Jungle. Yeah, Willie. Welcome back to the Twitch. It's nice to see you, buddy.
Willie!
I'm glad word got out that you got unbanned. Welcome back home. We missed you, I guess. But it's time for our Astros opening day countdown.
Always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros season opener against the New York Yankees March 28th.
Less than 2 weeks.
14 days? I can't wait.
I'm very excited.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Are we going to run over to opening day right after the show?
I don't know, but I got to say, I think I found a spot to get away from, you know, the overpriced margaritas of MMP. It was out at this place called Highway Cantina yesterday.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
So you're going to do your drinking before you go?
I'm going to go there, get my margarita before I go in. Now no one's going to get mad at me for being, drinking in the press box. But, yeah, Highway Cantina.
You don't drink in the press box.
No, I drink outside the press box, and I come back with a drink in me.
Yeah.
Vanessa used to get so angry. Vanessa Richardson, who used to be my co-host, she used to get so mad at me when I would tell her that I would go with a credential and I'd have a drink. Well, listen, in the 60s, it was fine. It was fine in the 60s. Why is it wrong now?
Yeah, Harry Carey used to get drunk during calling
these
games.
Guys were hammered smoking cigarettes. Like, how dare you? No, I feel like I'm on my A game when I have a drink. Others would probably argue that today is proof that it's not. But yeah, Highway Cantina, that's my new pit stop before I go to Minute Maid.
One of the things we've been talking about on the show, just like getting ready for the season, obviously is the rotation is a big part of the conversation this year. But, you know, we've had a lot of conversations early on about Hunter Brown and, you know, what he did last year and what his expectations are and how high they've been. But I did find this story interesting. It's not just Hunter Brown, but, like, Joe Espada. I don't know what happened this offseason, but Christian Javier lost weight. Framber Valdez looks trimmed down. Hunter Brown, now there's a story yesterday up from, I can't remember who wrote this.
It was in the Chronicle.
It was the Chronicle about how, you know, he's making sure that physically he can, you know, be ready for the entire season. He pitched more innings last year than he had in like 2 years by the All-Star break, it seemed like. So it does seem like the Astros are taking a better approach physically for this year, which is a good thing because you need Hunter Brown to be him at his best ability in October still if you're going to reach a World Series. But how much confidence do you have right now in Hunter Brown going into the season as just a pitcher on this team?
It's tricky. I constantly go back to feeling like people made Hunter Brown out to be something that he wasn't at times since he's joined the Astros, and it has entirely to do with viral tweets and highlights of, wow, he throws like Justin Verlander. He's from Detroit. So I always feel like that's been unfairly placed on him. I mean, what I'm hoping for is a guy who's got an ERA of like 4.2 by the end of the year and more wins than losses. You know, I'm hoping for, you want a throwback? I'm hoping for a Colin McHugh kind of pitcher.
Yeah.
Someone who's that. Like, I'm not expecting to be blown away by him, but if I get 5 innings out of him and 2 runs, 3 runs on a night-to-night basis, I feel pretty good about that.
The biggest thing for Hunter Brown this year, this is a good story in theory of him, you know, being able to go longer throughout the season. My biggest question about Hunter Brown this year would be, honestly, can he just go more than 5 innings?
Yeah.
Like when I look at Hunter Brown and I view him as a pitcher that, as much as I love him, as much as I think he can be a really good pitcher for this team, frankly, if he does not get you more than 5 innings, that's where I lose my faith in him a little bit. Like, I don't know if you can have 2 guys in the rotation between him and Christian Javier that only give you five innings. It's too much on the bullpen, I think.
What do you think the problem was last year? I thought it was the proverbial rookie wall. I guess you could also say it was a sophomore slump, and technically his rookie season because it was his first full year.
Yeah.
What do you think happened?
I think it's that. I think it's that. Like, it's that second half of the season where they figured it out and stuff. I think it was everything. It was they figured him out. His arm got tired. His stuff wasn't moving as much as you wanted to. His fastball at times last year was not, you know, reaching as high velocity as it was early in the season. So it just kind of feel like everything started to go a little bit wrong for Hunter Brown at times last year. But at the same time, what's good about it is that all the stuff that can be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can – now, he's not – he might not be ready to go 200 innings this year.
Right.
Most pitchers can't ever anymore, it feels like.
They won't even be allowed to.
They won't even be allowed to. You know, actually, that kind of reminds me. I was listening to Dan Patrick's show yesterday, and they brought this up, and I thought this is an interesting question. They were talking about running backs in the NFL and, like, how you will figure out what a Hall of Famer is. But then Dan brought up how it's the same conversation with starting pitchers. That, like, after Verlander and Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw, like, most of these starting pitchers don't go 6, 7, 8 innings or 7, 8, 9 innings anymore. And when their careers are over, their statistics are going to look so jarringly bad.
Yeah.
Compared to a lot of other Hall of Famers. Like, I don't need Hunter Brown to go 8, but I need him to go 6. And I just don't know.
No one does that anymore, though. It actually drives me crazy. It makes me feel like an old man. I'm like,
why isn't this kid pitching into the 7th inning? He's a little beta.
Max Scherzer he proposed this idea, was to shrink the amount of pitchers each team can have on their roster. And that by doing that, you would force the starters to go longer.
Yeah.
That also seems like a bad idea. Just give me 6. Give me 6 Hunter Brown, every other start, and Christian Javier, and I'm happy.
Just give me 6.
That's all I need.
I just need 6.
6 is a good number.
6 is a very good number.
Yeah, for a lot of people,
for
6
a lot of people. That's, yeah. In fact, that's for most people.
Yeah, 6 is a really good
what
number
I understand.
For a lot of people. 7, 8, 9 is pushing it sometimes.
It's rushing it. That's a way to say it.
So Hunter Brown's going to win Cy Young this year.
A text. We have a text. This one's from the 281. These players are losing weight because Dusty isn't there anymore to feed them snacks.
I mean,
does
maybe
that concern you that they don't have snacks?
Maybe they have healthy snacks.
They've gone to Clif Bars. They've gone away
instead
from
banana pudding.
banana pudding is the, you know, butterscotch pudding is the snack I want. Give me my snack pack like I'm Billy Madison.
You would get, when you got a snack pack, you would go with butterscotch?
Yeah.
You just not straight chocolate?
I don't like chocolate.
What don't?
I told you this. How do you forget this already?
No, I don't.
I thought you cared about me.
I don't think you told me this one.
I definitely. It's cheese and chocolate. It's the cheese. I'm not into them. The cheese. I don't like that.
That's weird.
I'm trying to think of something else.
Do you like dark chocolate? Is it all chocolate?
It's all chocolate. I ate it all. Actually, I'm kidding. In some chocolate.
Like, are you an American?
Some chocolate I have come to kind of like over the last couple of years, but I used to just hate chocolate.
I don't know. For someone that, you know, claims to be like this great American, Paul, you don't like cheese. You don't like chocolate.
Yeah, we all have our things.
Yeah, but this is like that's what America's founded on these days.
I suppose cheese I can't. I suppose I can't call out for Joel for putting ketchup in his water and his coffee if I don't like chocolate. You know what else Joel puts ketchup on?
What?
He doesn't use Icy Hot. He's getting up there in age, you know.
He just puts ketchup on.
He just rubs ketchup on.
He what?
He just rubs ketchup on sore spots.
Once again, that was Paul Gallant. You can find him on Twitter at Gallant Says. That was not me, Joe George.
He
we are live.
As shampoo. He's found a lot of uses for it. Joe's face is literally on the table. It's Gallant and George. Stick around.
All right. Speaking of the Astros, the Rangers did the Astros a huge favor yesterday, and the Yankees are doing nothing. We'll talk about it next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Gallant and George and some great music presented by RC Ranch,
the official beef jerky of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
A pair of jeans that fit just right.
All right, I know I owe you guys a singing opportunity here, but I'm still like, I'll have a coughing attack if I start doing that, so I owe you one.
Excuses.
It's a real. I don't want to die right now. So
why do I have to keep on bringing up the famous lines of the Shorecrest Preparatory School weight room? You know, where they're built an all-district safety. Excuses. Skin of a reason.
I owe you one.
Stuffed with a lie. You're doing a radio show. You can sing.
No, I can't. 2920, will the Yankees sign Blake Snell now that Cole's going to be out for a while? It sounds like the Yankees are doing nothing. That they're not going to go after Blake Snell.
Yeah.
They're not going to go after Jordan Montgomery.
I think Aaron Judge is dealing with some ab issues as well.
Yeah.
So, uh-oh. Maybe he should be doing Pilates like the Astros are now.
I thought he was at one point. I thought that was one of their little weird little storylines they try to push.
I am surprised more baseball players don't do Pilates just because of how it strengthens your core. And I know I sound like a big like Pilates
pusher.
But knowing all these Pilates Illuminati instructors in Houston, it's a good workout.
I haven't done it yet.
Honestly, you would be surprised by how much of a workout it is.
I probably need to do something because I will say after that first day of training, it took me like 3 days to feel fully recovered.
You just got
to
keep doing it, and you won't feel that way anymore.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've been out of the gym for like 3 to 4 days, and I know that when I go back today that I am going to feel
Yeah, and I have been out of the gym.
And I'm going to sweat it out, too.
A decade?
Really?
Dude, I don't know. Honestly, that's where like I'm excited about trying to like lose weight, but it is like a little bit intimidating because it had been so long.
30 minutes a day, baby.
I just like, and that's
all
what
I need to do.
That's what I've been doing now, and it's just, it was because you know, it's one of those things where I always had an excuse, and like I had these weird. I mean, at one point, I was literally working 3 jobs.
Hint of a reason, stuff on the line. That's an actual excuse.
So like, there was a two and a half year stretch like after I got let go by Gal the first time, and hopefully the last time that I was literally working 3 jobs. I was working at the Texans flagship, Lids, and I was doing this other job as well. And so like,
what'd you like more, Lids or the flagship?
Lids.
Probably Lids. Yeah, I would assume so.
The first 6 months of the flagship were better.
Okay.
And then the second half were not as good.
Gotcha.
Because some changes happened. But this is we bring up the Yankees here because yesterday, out of nowhere, the Dylan Cease rumors started floating again around the White Sox. And it's really the last 48 hours. And the first report was that the Yankees would not include one of their top 100 prospects. And then it became the Rangers are going after him.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden yesterday, last night, the San Diego Padres trade for Dylan Cease. Now, this is a huge break for the Astros, first of all. Because even though I know not everyone thinks Dylan Cease is this elite pitcher, I do think he is. I do think he can be a Cy Young winner any single year. And he's just in a really bad organization. I think that maybe it'll be better off in San Diego. And look what they did with Blake Snell and how much better he got. And he was already really good, just like Cease. But I think Cease is going to be really good for the Padres this year. But it's a huge break for the Astros that he's not a Ranger. Because like the Yankees, the Rangers have so many health issues already. Dylan Cease would solve a lot of them very quickly. So this is a very good thing, I think, for the Astros that this didn't happen.
It's crazy that the Padres have whatever amount of money they do, that they're able to make these moves. Because, I mean, as far as the big spenders in baseball go, the team that has been most consistent with acquiring top talent over the years, it's been the Padres, you know? I mean, they've brought in some good players. So I respect their ownership group for continuing to swing. And I'm with you there.
But it's bizarre because
I don't want them on the Rangers either.
But it's bizarre because, Paul, 5 months ago we got the report that the Padres had to borrow $50 million last year to make payroll.
Yep, and you got the issues going on with their networks.
Yeah.
Right? I think they're one of the teams that's impacted by the Diamond Sports Network or something
Yeah.
That's falling apart. And yet, yeah, they're still spending. I give them credit. I mean, you deserve credit if you continue to spend, especially when it seems like you don't have the money.
In baseball, you do, because this article I was reading, they point out that the Padres had less than $100 million in payroll in 2019. Mm-hmm. Last year, going into the season, they were third in payroll. They haven't accomplished anything with all this money they spent. But I would much rather – there needs to be more teams like that than the A's, what the Orioles have been, what the Padres were before, like the Cincinnati Reds, the White Sox. Like, those teams who are good markets and don't spend money annoy me. Because they're just garbage.
Yeah, they're cheapos. Yeah, they're cheapos. Baseball owners, I've discussed this a lot. I think the fact that baseball is not one of those premier sports in America anymore, right? Like, if there's a good team in your market, people are going to pay attention. That's why people pay attention to the Astros.
Yeah.
But since it is not on the same level as the NFL, where you know pretty much every owner's name, and the NBA, where you know the majority of owners' names in the NBA, baseball owners are largely anonymous, and it's very difficult to see, to find stories about them, because they stay out of the private eye, and they're all making profits. But it's one of those sports, too, where there's not, with the NFL and the NBA, there's revenue sharing, and there are ways to keep everything balanced. And in baseball, there's just the competitive balance tax, which is not that much of a limitation. And it's certainly an excuse in some cases for owners to continue to be cheap.
Yeah.
Baseball owners get to hide behind the shield of a sport that honestly isn't as relevant as it used to be.
Yeah.
And get away with just essentially screwing their fans over. Imagine you're a Red Sox fan right now. That organization makes tons of money. And what they've done the last couple of years does not reflect an organization that is as rich as it gets. But the Padres spend, the Mets tried spending, the Dodgers spend, from a just, hey, this is what owners should do. You should be committed to winning. Like, I do respect those ownership groups for that.
No, for sure. And 8736 points out, Cease's contract is just over $8 million. Yes, it's $8 million this year. Okay, if they don't extend Dylan Cease, they are definitely one of the worst teams in all of baseball, because they gave up 5 prospects, and some of them were...
They're probably working on something.
Yeah, I would be stunned if Dylan Cease does not sign a very good deal with the San Diego Padres. So they clearly, at least it might not affect their salary cap or how much they owe this year, but next year and going forward, I would imagine Dylan Cease is going to be a San Diego Padre. But it's a good thing for the Astros. But at least Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, still just out there without a home. And I really was not one of those guys, Paul, that was like, the Astros need to go sign one of them. It would have been nice. We're 14 days away from opening day.
Yeah.
I think Dana Brown and Jim Crane got to start making calls to those guys. And just asking. Be like, would you take $20 million for a year?
It does feel that they have publicly hinted they're done.
It does.
Without saying it. But they seem pretty happy with where they are.
does that mean to the point where, hey, like, you're making a phone call and say, like, $1?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it feels like they have said, nope, this is our budget for the year. We're not going over this.
Yeah, no, they have, but at the same time, Paul, it's these opportunities are few and far between.
Hey, I agree with you there. I'm not endorsing this. I feel like they have publicly said we're done.
Yeah.
In as many words.
Yeah, and these guys will sign at some point. It is bizarre that two of the best pitchers on the market are just sitting there.
Collusion.
In free agency. Like, it's got to be collusion. I mean, the fact that
they're all, because again, they're all these people, they're cheap. They're just cheap and obsessed with the profits and not with actually contending. I'm with you. It's crazy. The competitive Dallas tax is not that much of a punishment.
No, it's not.
And if you want to win a World Series, you should try. And I suppose the expanded playoffs makes makes maybe teams believe that you have a chance every single year now with the way baseball's playoffs are sometimes very wonky and unexpected things happen that they don't need to. So it just gives them another excuse to be cheap.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting season for the Astros and just baseball in general, because I think the Astros right now, I would guess in most books, they're still the betting favorite to go to the World Series at least out of the American League. The Yankees were still the favorite for a while, but that's more the sports books, you know, hedging. They don't ever want to give a good number to Yankees fans because there's going to be so many people that are going to bet on the Yankees to win the World Series that the sports books will just get crushed if it actually ever happens again, So they always give a good number, but I would feel confident betting on the Astros to go back to the World Series this year at this point. I'd be shocked, honestly, if they don't at a minimum get back to the ALCS series again.
Yeah.
ALCS series. Series is in the
You're speaking great English.
I just was like, I was.
JoJo strikes again.
JoJo strikes again. All right, he's Paul Gallant. I am Joe George. You can find us on Twitter, at Gallant Says, at Joe George Radio. Welcome to the show at 713-780-3776. You can't see us, but we are still on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, because we are live here at the Decoy. Come hang out, the Killer Bees. Today will just be Brian and Joel. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. But coming up next,
come watch the Cougs, baby.
Come watch the Cougs. They'll be in action. Come watch Texas A&M basketball. I got my eye on that one.
Put some money?
No, I just, you know, I would like Texas A&M to be in the tournament. If we're going to be airing Texas A&M postseason basketball games, I would like them to be March Madness, not the NIT.
I feel you on that.
Because they're going to be in the NIT, so I would rather them at least, you know,
make the tournament.
Make the real tournament.
Come on, Aggies. You're a basketball school now.
Yeah, like make the tournament. Make the real tournament, not the NIT. Or turn down the NIT if that's what you make. So we'll talk about the NFL, what's going on more. Now, look, one of the stories we're going to talk about, it's going to be like the early days of Deshaun Watson. We can't say much because we don't know much, but sexual assault lawsuits are back in the headlines in the NFL with a different quarterback. That's next year in the 10-minute drill on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush. Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
All right, according to Michael Gelkin of...
Old Gelky.
DallasNews.com, the Dallas Morning News. Dak Prescott is being investigated for sexual assault. Two different incidents are being looked into going back to 2017. This is, you know, I kind of referenced there as we went to break, Paul. You know, like when the Deshaun Watson stuff first started happening, you always assume innocence, and that's what I will do here. I will assume innocence. You know, he claims he's being extorted, so we will wait to see how it plays out. But just at this very moment, that is happening in the NFL and something that, we'll kind of have to just keep an eye on going forward, it looks like.
It's an investigation for something that took place in 2017. I don't know what new evidence could be presented that would prove that he did these things. And I know that he is, I think, countersuing for – they're also – the police are investigating extortion. So they're investigating all possibilities right here. I know that Dak Prescott's lawyer came out very strongly with public accusations of extortion against the person that is accusing Prescott of sexual assault. I'll be honest. At this point, You know, Joe, I never make assumptions. I think the safest thing to do with stories like this is to wait. A lot of people love rushing to judgment here for, you know, whether it's like against the alleged victim or against the alleged perpetrator.
Always.
I just
there was so
tell
much...
people all the time, just sit back and wait because facts will come out. But this is definitely an interesting story that, I mean, the Cowboys are dealing with a lot of off-the-field stories this offseason between this and Jerry Jones.
Yeah, Jerry Jones' lawsuit just got dismissed. I saw that. You're right. Like, that's how you have to approach it. Because I do think back to when the Deshaun Watson stuff started happening and so many people were – it really didn't feel like there were a lot of neutral parties. Were you here – when that started? Or were you still in Seattle?
I was in Seattle when that all started, yeah.
So it was it felt very – it was very divisive. It was very –
Oh, I remember. I remember there was a theory online that the Texans put out there because they were pissed off that he wasn't playing for them.
Yeah.
But then there was accusation.
Yeah, we went from 1 to 26 in a month.
And I mean, I've had friends, like, the guy was sliding in lots of DMs. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
Like, I have a couple of friends where he slid in the DMs up, too. Like, the guy did not have a lot of shame on that front.
All right, and much less serious news. Jason Light, he called Baker Mayfield a 10 on the prick scale.
Yeah.
He
had quite the press conference too. I think he also said like we had one of the best off seasons ever.
Yeah, I saw your note on this in the rundown, that you prefer Robo Caserio to that.
Yeah. Yes. This is going to get rubbed in your face if the Bucs don't go further than they did last year, and they already kind of set themselves up for failure. No, I mean. Last year, they were way better than anyone expected them to be. Now, next year, the Falcons are clearly significantly better. And Jason Light saying, we've got one of the greatest free agency hauls ever. I suppose if I'm doing sports radio in Tampa Bay, I'm happy about these quotes. It's definitely more than any of the absolute gobbledygook of 500-word answers that Nick Caserio gives. But... yeah, I don't want my GM saying we've had one of the greatest free agency hauls ever. That's an insane statement to make.
Yes.
You have to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm with you here. If Nick Caserio came out and said that right now, I don't think we would be treating this as like a, Nick Caserio knows he's a genius. I'd be actually a little concerned because all it does is put a target on your back.
To me, well, I mean, what I see the Bucks have done, to me it's like, it would be like me coming back from the grocery store and saying, like, I've had one of the greatest grocery store trips ever. Like, they just took care of business. They didn't add anything.
They ran it back. They're running it back.
They're running it back with Baker Mayfield. One of the greatest free agency hauls ever. Okay, Jason.
Yeah, like, you kept Baker Mayfield.
Cool,
you kept
bro.
Mike Evans. You kept Antoine Winfield Jr. Like, that's pretty much your offseason at this point. Right, so, we'll see what happens. My guess is he's going to very much regret that. Aaron Rodgers in the news.
Oh, my God.
So,
oh, my God. This effing guy.
Yeah. So, CNN reported that Aaron Rodgers went on the record on a podcast and said that he did not believe in Sandy Hook.
I don't think it was he went on the record on a podcast. It was he had private conversations.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. To Pamela Brown.
Okay. With multiple people with questions raised about Sandy Hook. Whatever the case, like, psychotic thing to say with other people, especially when you're a public figure. Like, do you think this isn't going to get back to people?
Yeah.
Especially, like, putting aside whether you believe in it or not, which you should believe it happened because it did happen. Those families are devastated. I have family that's in Connecticut. Like, this was an absolute tragedy.
Yeah.
But think about it from this perspective. Alex Jones has been sued for, like, billions of dollars. And you're going to say this to anybody when you're someone with money, like, publicly, on the record, in written form, in verbal form?
Yep.
You're out of your effing mind.
And now he's walked it back. Or not walked it back.
It was a very...
He denied that he ever said that.
I got to say, you know what? I am... Zag here. I'm starting to think that this guy could be a vice president. If he's putting out public statements like this after saying something... behind the scenes, allegedly, that's just completely moronic.
Yeah.
Hell, this is how you do it. You put out a statement like this that doesn't even – that you have to press more to read the entirety of on Twitter.
This is – all this is – this offseason is so Aaron Rodgers to just say, to go out and publicly say that one of the biggest issues with the Jets was distractions.
And he's running for vice president.
And, like, you
maybe.
Might run for vice president. You're calling out culture in the locker room.
USA.
You
it's the American dream.
Yeah, you are being accused of being a Sandy Hook denier.
Just be a hypocrite. It's the American way. Just be the biggest hypocrite ever.
Like, just you can't say you don't want distractions when Aaron Rodgers is the biggest distraction maybe in the history of the NFL. I don't know who else you'd put in that category. I think about every single appearance on
Antonio Brown.
I think it's pretty close.
Tyreek Hill in 2024.
No, Aaron Rodgers is way bigger. Antonio Brown and Aaron Rodgers are probably the top two.
Yeah.
Because even like Dion was like, Dion wasn't this massive distraction. Like he was.
No, Dion was fun.
Yeah, Dion was at times, yes, a character. And
I don't think Dion was ever a problem, though.
Exactly.
Like the receivers, like Keyshawn Johnson and Terrell Owens and some other ones, the loud wide receivers, I guess, were kind of distractions. But yeah, Rodgers, it's. Rodgers wants people to look at him.
That's what
and
he
I don't think
does
he cares.
That.
I don't think he cares about how they do it. But it's funny because he'll always, whenever people start looking at him, he's like, "Why is everyone looking at me?"
Yeah, that's actually what annoys me the most.
I mean, you know why? You know exactly what you're doing. Just lean into it. But no, he loves this like trying
woe
to push
me.
This. Woe is me to an extent, Joe. But like this, it's this. I don't care about anything, but I actually do care. Like California chill vibes character that he's created, and it's just completely full of bleep.
Yeah, he's something, man. He just there's always a story. It feels like that like he is connected to in some way that's negative towards or negative around his football team. That's never actually about football. And I think this goes back to before 2020.
Perfect like, for the Jets.
Like all the stuff. Like thinking about all the temper tantrums this guy threw.
About the 28-6 team over 2 years. Yeah, he was bitching and moaning.
He's talking about like the six-string wide receiver that got cut, and like how it was this massive
they don't treat
deal.
People right here, it's like, yeah, but they win, dude.
Like, I just
he joined that, and he left them for the Jets. What an
he's
idiot!
So exhausting. My biggest nightmare was one day that he would be the Bears quarterback.
You would have loved it though.
I still think there's a chance.
There's a chance that it'll be Rodgers,
just because my worst nightmare is going to come true.
No.
This is
his last stop. I don't think anyone's going to want to deal with this crap.
Yeah, I do think he is honest though about if he doesn't run for vice president that he might play for 4 more years. I don't think he's going to just have like. I don't think this is going to be a 1 year thing.
Again, you say that it's just such a like look at me story. Like, oh, I'm going to play for 4 more years. Cool, dude.
But every offseason, it's going to be the Brett Favre thing all over again,
which is even more ironic that the guy that he hated when he first entered the NFL, that was always waffling on retirement, so he didn't have to show up for training camp. Rodgers was just doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's what it is. The other thing that's going on in the NFL that's obviously the big story, not to bring it back to the team that I grew up watching, but
oh no,
this Justin Fields stuff.
So what's the latest with Justin
Fields? I just
don't
know where he's going to play anymore. Like, we just saw Desmond Ridder just got traded.
CFL?
Like, I don't think he's going to be...
Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
Like, everyone thought he could go to Indianapolis, right? Well, Joe Flacco's the backup. Everyone thought he could be the starter maybe in Atlanta. We have Kirk Cousins. Now he can't be the backup in Arizona. I don't know where he plays football next year. And as much as I know I have overhyped this guy and I drank the Kool-Aid and I way bought in and like now that like the season's over and I've thought about it, I know I'm wrong. I know I'm an idiot. And clearly the NFL is telling me I'm wrong because no one wants him. But at the same time, he's good enough to be a starter in the NFL.
I'm with you there, but he's not a guy that you want to have for a long period of time.
No.
I am wondering, like, who would make the move for Justin Fields right now? And there's a part of me, too, that's also thankful that the Texans have a quarterback, because if the Texans did not have a quarterback, there would be a very large contingent that would be pushing for Fields. There does seem to be a dynamic of the people that defend Justin Fields where it feels like it maybe isn't necessarily about football.
Yeah, I agree.
It's about, like, we want to see a black quarterback succeed, yeah. And you know what? Okay, cool. But he's not good.
I would honestly
he's a guy that's made it to the league, but he's not someone you want as a starter.
Yeah, I would expect him to be. My guess is he's going to end up being the backup for Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia.
That's a good backup.
Now, like, he's your backup there because there's no starting jobs open. The other one that's being reported the most is that Seattle could take a look at him. That Mike McDonald could try to run a Lamar Jackson-style offense with him, let him compete with Geno Smith. It's really the only job in the NFL. Like, the Raiders don't make sense. They brought in Gardner. The only job I think that's in question in the NFL at this moment, I would say, is Seattle. That doesn't involve a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, because they're not publicly endorsing Geno Smith.
Yeah.
But Geno Smith is the best quarterback on that roster and should
for
be
sure
the starting quarterback next season.
Yeah, that would make the most sense. And plus, he's not going to go, like, anywhere in the division.
Right.
Or anything like that. But it is the most. It was the most nauseating story for NFL fans because it's all that was talked about in the combine, and then now for it just to be this dead story is just really weird. Like Adam
yeah.
Schefter going on TV saying they could get a first round pick for him, which always felt like nonsense, and now they'll be lucky to get what the Patriots got from Mac Jones. Is just it's interesting.
It certainly is,
say the least. All right, coming up next here on Glatt and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're going to talk a little bit more. I have more questions about Paul going to Nickelback.
Oh no!
But I also know that Paul is being eviscerated right now.
Yeah,
Paul is being taken to task for a comment he made
about
on
the great state of Texas
on Instagram. We're going to discuss that next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Back to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at the Decoy in Spring Branch.
Paul and Joe here, live at the Decoy. Brian McDonald, your engineer for us. Sean Mapes back at the studio. A couple texts here.
Want to flip
the
some
last
tires hearing this song.
You flip tires?
Hell yeah, dude.
Little tires or big tires?
The biggest tires.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My big truck with this big engine. It's yeah. not compensating.
6889. How much would you hate Texans going after Fields?
Justin Fields?
Yeah. 0%.
Yeah, it would be annoying.
You would hate it?
Yeah. I don't want it. I don't want, like, if Stroud struggles, I don't want there to even be one person.
That's like, oh, so maybe Justin Fields needs a shot.
But it would be fun to have Justin Fields in, like, a Fields cat or something like that.
I think it would make sense.
No, it's too expensive. Come on.
Well, that's where it's more about if he got cut or maybe next year. He would not be a solution this year
right.
for this team because I'm not paying him $8 million or whatever he's owed, $12 million to come be the backup for this team. But he's not going to get his fifth year contract picked up. So maybe next year you could look into it and he could be your backup and you could do some creative stuff. But right now it doesn't make sense. And that's my guess is also why he has no trade market is who wants to pay a backup quarterback that much money. So
exactly.
0265, Paul, quick question. What do you think the Patriots are going to do at quarterback, and who do you think should be their quarterback?
I want Jaden Daniels, but I bet they're going to trade out of that pick.
Really?
It feels like signing Jacoby Brissett is a sign that they're perhaps going to go in another direction with that pick. I know that they
said. But
then
they should trade for Fields.
No.
They should trade for Fields for like a sixth-round pick.
No.
Make him their starter.
Do you think that's all the Bears would get for him? I think the
that's
Bears
what Mac Jones was for?
Yeah, but I think the Bears are stubborn, and they still think that they can get more.
Yeah.
It was funny that we've gone from, like, potentially a first-round pick to this.
Yeah.
As far as the conversation about what Fields' market was.
I mean, look, Trey Lance went for a third.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that's where, like, if I'm the Bears, I'd be like, dude, Trey Lance went for a third to be the backup in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Or be the backup in Dallas. So, like, someone's got to get a little bit better. But if I was the Patriots and they're not going to draft a quarterback, then I would bring in Fields.
I'm just glad I have C.J. Stroud.
Unless they're going to try to tank, which we've already got our reports of our first team tanking this year. Which is, I saw a rumor that the Broncos are going to try to tank it out for Shedeur Sanders. Good luck. Good luck.
I'm trying to think of a thing. Be like Ned Flanders for Sanders? I don't know. Yeah, that didn't work.
That's not that good.
Yeah,
it's not your best work.
That was an abortion.
Over 7.5 drinks last night?
Over.
Really?
Yeah, it was over.
That's a pricey night, Paul.
Well, the good news is I didn't spend that much. You got to buy the drink tickets when you're there. So I was in the wine garden. Before that, I hung out, had a couple of drinks at Highway Cantina. To NRG Stadium, go into the Wine Garden. Was looking for some friends. And because it took me such a long time to find them, I had most of the bottle that I bought for me and my friends. I had, I want to say, like 3 glasses of red wine after that bottle.
Okay.
And I had probably 2 to 3 Miller Lights inside the arena. So I don't know what the number is, but I'm assuming over. The problem is, like, what is the drink? What is the math for wine as far as a drink compared to beer?
I think it's the same. I think that's what they taught us, like in school when they started talking about alcohol education.
They didn't teach me well.
I guess that's school.
BMAC just said what?
I don't know. You guys didn't take like alcohol education classes?
No.
I think I did in college. Like no. It was like part of our. Maybe it was more like freshman orientation.
Yeah.
Maybe not. So like not like class, but like I remember going over that, and I think it was. Like, I think it's like a wine is the same as a beer most of the time. Is the same as a shot.
That sounds right.
It's like it's all one for one.
Do you want to test this out? We're at the decoy after all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to drink a lot tonight. Is my plan. So.
Hell yeah, dude!
So much that
you're
I might
going
not,
in there.
So much that I might not make it to work.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
You might have to Uber out. Yeah. Oh yeah, so much. Yeah, cause, yeah. I know you're not going to be there on Friday.
I'm off tomorrow. So
good job by you. Yeah, so I had a lot, and I'm very thankful that I had because I was going to Uber home, and I had a friend say, "No, I will drive you in your car back to your place." It was a very kind gesture of them, and I slept through all my alarms, and I woke up at 9 this morning. I was like, "Oh, damn! Thank God I'm not doing the 10 to noon show anymore."
You'd be in a bad spot. Were you ever late to the 10 to noon show? Because you ever slept?
No, just the jury duty day. Just the day where I had jury duty, I ended up showing up a little bit late.
Yeah, I mean, I remember.
Shout out to Sean Mapes back at Mission Control. And you, I believe, right? You guys were filling in. So I appreciate that. But, yeah, it was a night. The acoustics at NRG Stadium are not great for concerts, though, gotta say.
Okay, so you're getting crushed on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting crushed on Instagram because – so there was a post that was put up. This person's called The Urban Cowboy. And this person put up this post – where, in quotation marks, it says, "No one walks in Texas. No one rides bikes in Texas. How do I get groceries without a car? What's the point? Just drive." And it just shows a bunch of people walking around in a part of Austin that's very walkable, right by the river. But that is not reflective of Texas at all. And I saw this. I got annoyed by the post. The account's usually good, but this is one of those stupid posts that you see like, oh, people don't talk about X, Y, or Z, but you actually can do this thing in Texas. And I just commented, Austin is in Texas. Because Austin is not Texas.
It's not.
Austin is a bunch of people that have moved from the West Coast and have all of a sudden just transformed the place. Look how different the skyline is. When I moved here, the skyline, what it was in 2011 versus what it is now, two totally different cities. And are we going to say that Austin is Texas? Austin is mostly transplants. There's nothing wrong with being a transplant, but Austin, which is weird, and I know loves to pat itself on the back for that, is not Texas. And I got a bunch of people that are coming after me for saying that.
I don't know why. Like people, it's its own little world. It's so different than any city in the state. Like,
it's so different. I mean, at the very least, it's not reflective of the entirety of Texas.
Yeah.
Period.
Because, I mean, you can bike pretty much everywhere you need to go, I would imagine, Austin. Like, I've never ridden a bike there, but I feel like I walked everywhere I went, from bars to hotels. Like,
you could, but it's, I mean, would you want to? It does seem to be the exception in Texas as far as just places that are walkable. I'm sure there's some spots in Dallas that are. There's nowhere in Houston that's walkable.
No, like, only downtown is walkable, but downtown's not, like,
downtown's not happening.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not happening.
They're trying, but I'm curious. Do you think this Craneville idea is going to turn downtown around? Where like there's going to be
it
a
could.
Bunch of bars.
I
got
to say, like, I love Vita. I love Vita. I do. I wish my friends would go there more. Because I generally like I'm not an organizer of plans. I generally just go where everyone else is going. But no, I mean, shoot, just yesterday going to Highway Cantina, that place was awesome. It's like basically like if Easy's Liquor Lounge was a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Fantastic stuff. So I think it could work out down there.
I'm curious. It just doesn't seem like – because right now people just, they don't they don't flock to downtown in the way they do to most major cities.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, when I first moved here, nothing was happening downtown.
Yeah.
And they actually did change things a little bit on that front. And there are some stretches that I think are pretty cool. I think the people that were visiting for the national championship, I think they liked those spots. But, yes, it's interesting. Houston's always, there's always like one spot in Houston, and then a couple of years later, like it moves from somewhere else. So right now, I know that a lot of people go, and this is where I generally go, to that stretch on 19th and 20th. Mm. Like that's where people my age go to go get sauced, if you will. But, yeah, man. Houston is more reflective of Texas
yes.
than Austin is. Dallas is in its own way. Someone's commenting Dallas isn't Texas either. I feel it's weird that I'm getting pushback for saying Austin isn't Texas.
I really haven't done the whole Dallas thing.
You haven't gone up there yet?
I've gone through it because I've only ever gone to Arlington.
Ever wanted to go to a city where a president's been killed? We've got the place for you.
Because the Cowboys and the Rangers don't play there.
That's true.
I have no reason to go to Dallas.
I enjoy this state fair. The Cotton Bowl for a Texas-Oklahoma game is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
To see like one side of the stadium's red and the other side of the stadium's burn orange. It's pretty sick.
I still remember
that's in Dallas proper.
Yeah, because like I think the Star Stadium is in Dallas proper. Mm-hmm. I haven't been there yet, which is on my. I'm probably gonna try to go next year, but it's not something I need to do because like I've gone up there. I've gone to Arlington for Cowboys games, college football games, Rangers games, like all that stuff. So I just to me it's not really a need to go to Dallas, but I can't imagine it's that much different than like any other big city. So, but yeah,
well,
Austin's not Texas.
They definitely carry themselves, Dallas, with an air of like, we're the Los Angeles of the South. Look at us. We had a TV show about us once back in the 70s, and we've been clinging on to that ever since our president got murked.
Did you do the grassy knoll when you went there?
No, I didn't.
You didn't take the photo?
I don't need.
You don't need. You
take want me? Do you want me to go in detail on this? Like, we could really get off the rails if I start talking about this.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't need to go to the place where the CIA wants me to look, so that I don't look at them.
Okay.
Read. There's a book, The Devil's Chessboard. Read it. That's all I'll say.
I've been recommending that before.
It's a great book.
I'm not much of a reader, Paul.
It'll make you lose all faith, but it's a great book.
I can read. I just don't like to read.
I don't know if you can read.
I can.
JoJo.
I can. I can read. I can read. I just don't like to read.
You don't like to read.
I can't tell you the last full book I've read.
I've been reading a book called, this is riveting radio, I'm sure, but a book called El Narco. And okay. it's about the drug trade.
All right. So
in Mexico.
So we started the show today talking about, I'm trying to help you get back on track here, Paul. So we started the show today talking about how, you know, some TV shows, we're talking about the Texans as Super Bowl contenders. Some are saying that they're not in the top five threats to the Kansas City Chiefs this year. But when we get back and start hour three, besides health and schedule, what is the biggest threat to the Texans' success in 2024, the way you view it right now? That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.